minutes from last time, and then we'll get a report on current items that Jack and team have been dealing with.
So let's do the roll call just because okay. Yep. Kim, when she does the minutes, she likes to hear here. So, okay, we will start. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Here.
Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt is not here. Commissioner Jayaraman? Perfect. Commissioner Carroll?
Here.
Commissioner Asga?
Here.
Perfect.
On three, I think we should do Kim, we miss you. One, two, three. Kim,
we miss you.
All right. I'm not sure.
She just couldn't make this meeting. Yeah, she mentioned a bill. So
good.
Okay. All right.
No public comment. Should we, any comments on the minutes from last time? All right. Motion to approve those.
I'll second.
John made the motion by nodding.
I haven't done it. Sorry. So, all right. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Thank you.
And then they're approved, right? By acclamation.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Jack, would you give us an update on things you've been dealing with and some of the current projects?
So much going on. Very exciting.
Absolutely. Always am. Okay. So first we're going to start with traffic related things. As I was mentioning a little bit earlier, we had two, I would say, traffic missions where we put out the traffic monitor to just gather data, go over everything, and then be able to speak to the inquirer to just go over the information. The two locations, the first one was at Keystone in Chicago. The second one was at Bonnie Bray in Chicago. In both situations, when we went over the score sheet, the speeds actually were pretty good. We were at 30-31 in their 85th percentile range, so that's a good thing. What really pushed that over the top or higher is obviously the ADT on Chicago is significant. You know, there's a lot of people traveling on Chicago. In both situations, when I spoke to the petitioners or the, you know, the residents that reached out, I explained that, you know, Keystone and Chicago is right by Thatcher. That's already a situation where you're right by an intersection. So in that situation in particular, putting up a stop sign would be kind of difficult. On Bonnie Bray and Chicago, that's also very close to Harlem. So in both those situations, we're extremely close. Now, the other thing that I mentioned to both people that inquired was, you know, at Chicago and Keystone, you have bump outs that were now put in on both sides. So that's already a significant improvement over what was there previously and before 2018. For Bonnie Bray in Chicago, that's another situation where a bump out was included. I am still looking into the contract documents of like why we didn't put it on the north side there. We did do it on the south side. I don't know why we didn't go ahead and do it on both sides to sort of narrow it. But that was done. My one thing to both of them, because after we did the score sheets, it basically proved out the fact that we should not do anything necessarily. However, I did make the concession to both people that both of those intersections are technically marked bike routes or marked routes of like just traveling. So what we would do is instead of our two parallel lines, we'll switch the striping to the piano lines just to make it more visible. And both seemed very happy with that.
Yeah, and I know Keystone better than the Bonnie Bray intersection, but a lot of people walk there, so I think that's a good change for that additional crosswalk stripage.
Yeah, the only thing I could say about Bonnie Bray is it's so close to Harlem, you put a stop sign there, you're probably backing up cars across Harlem. You just can't do that.
Yeah, and that was part of the discussion with the person was that it's way too close. You already have, when there's a stoplight, you have people that go all the way up to Bonnie Bray, potentially. So then if you had a stop sign there, you're going to have people that are trying to make the light, trying to do different things, and then that stop sign becomes a hazard.
Well, and I don't know if you were going to comment on it, Jack, but I was just complimenting Jack that since staff have put up on the website the standards and we've invested in the counting machine, it's allowed us to give information to residents right off the bat, and it really cuts down on the number of things that we've had to deal with because they've been able to be handled informally through staff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a great tool. It's just having that data, it seems to very much like just point out, okay, here's where we're at, you know? So,
Thank you.
yep, thank you. That is what I have in terms of traffic related things. The other thing that I would mention is for Traffic Safety Commission is our Washington Boulevard open houses tomorrow night, 4 to 7 p.m. This is going to be the second opportunity for the public to provide formal feedback on just the designs. Based on the feedback that was received at the first open house, there's a diagnostic that shows, you know, hey, here's what people said, here's what they were thinking, here's how we addressed it. So that's already been done. The documents, so we did not put up the exhibits on the website yet. We'll do that right after the open house because we want people to come to the open house and we want to talk to them. We will put them up right after.
Feedback at the first open house generally positive.
It is very positive. There were comments on like tweaks. Generally very positive, but there were comments on, for example, one of the biggest changes, and I could say it because the email, so that was the other thing. Anyone that put in a public comment form and left their email, we sent them, hey, here's a diagnostic. We're inviting you back. Come take a look. So, you know, so that was good. But yeah, generally very positive. The main thing that happened was there was good feedback from Franklin to Lathrop. They don't want the multi-use path. They mentioned they are okay with losing their parking and putting the bike path on the street. So that was interesting. But yeah. Well, but also they were saying basically they, you know, they have children or different things that use the sidewalk. They'd rather keep the bikes out in the street. So that's something we incorporated, and we would see that in the exhibits. So.
You had that open thing, so anybody driving from other parts of the town could attend.
Oh yeah.
Because I saw that flashing sign.
And out here too.
So any town could participate.
They can. How do I say this? I would put more weight to people who live in town in terms of feedback.
I think we're sitting here meeting a year ago or less. Somebody had a comment about the stop light on Franklin and Washington and how the weight it should do this and it should do that
For bicycles.
for bicycles. And the person was from Southern Illinois. Great, thank you, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah, so taxpayers probably get a little bias. Thank you for coming to the meeting as a Carbon Hill person or wherever they were from. I don't care if they're
No, for sure. But yeah, so to that point, anyone can come, but we would put more weight to people, particularly, you know, all residents in River Forest, but even more so the people who live right along that corridor and are impacted directly. So that's what I have for Washington. And then I was just going to do a quick overview of things we have going on just because we see each other very rarely.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Yep. So. Exactly. Permeable paver project. So the project where we're redoing this entire parking lot, that should be happening early May. We just got our final approval today, actually. Franklin water main replacement. We are replacing the water main on Franklin between Madison and Washington. We are having a not an open house. This is a community meeting with the people on the block because I'm going to walk through the plans with them because construction is going to be very disruptive. So just walking through with them what it's going to look like, the time frame, all that kind of stuff. So those letters went out and the invites went out. That'll be April 7th, but that's really just for them. So
The water main under the street on
Washington.
Franklin from Madison to Washington.
Correct.
When does that start?
Should start just, well, end of May, early June.
And that's a couple months.
That's going to take 2 to 3 months. Yeah. So and honestly, the beginning part is the most disruptive where you have to put in the big main line, do the testing, do the chlorination, do all that, and then it takes time to just do the services to the main line, to the new one. So, but yeah, that's going to be nice to get off the list because that was one of our projects that's outlined in our water system model of just needing replacement. It's a 6-inch cast iron main that's going to go to an 8-inch. So an upgrade and just old. So mention the water main Washington phase one. We had our pre-construction meeting for the rooftop unit that's going to be replaced here at Village Hall. That's going to replace this and the police department. That's going to be fun. So that's just, we're going to the unit up on the roof and then putting some automation controls so that we can actually monitor them remotely rather than me getting calls in the middle of the night about issues. So that's going to be a good one. And then the last thing is Monday, we start our reservoir rehab. So the water reservoir over on Berkshire and Jackson, that one we are sandblasting, painting, and just completely emptying and cleaning out the large and small reservoir. That starts on Monday. We've already been like playing with the valves to make sure everything works. We're at a good point, and Monday the work starts, and that should take about a month for us, 2 weeks on one tank, 2 weeks on the other. It won't impact anyone's water, but we have to do it now before sprinkler season goes in full blast, because then water is going to be needed, and so we can't play with just our tower and stuff.
And if anyone has a chance, you got to visit this site. It's pretty cool. You just turn on a faucet, figures it works. They got the control panels, the pressure, and north and south. And they said the south has better water pressure than the north.
It does. It does, because you're closer to the water tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not me. So water tower?
Yeah, that's where all our pressure is. So we don't want to be seen. We don't want to be known.
Maybe we could sell it. Put space on it.
Naming rights. Naming rights.
Oh, naming. You know, prime on the side.
I know which tone you're passing. Is look at the water tower. Carl's name.
Yeah.
It's over at Public Works, in the south end by 45 Forest.
Nobody knows who it is.
Well, it just got repainted 2 years ago, so it's not going to be anytime soon.
It's soon to be the John Osgood.
I'll tell you, it'll look even better with my name on it.
Just like high school.
Jackson.
So you can cast.
It is below ground, but it's a hill.
I think you're going to project.
Always going to be moving.
So how do you get, what's down there?
Water. It's like just a giant hollow pit. I will take pictures and stuff, but because I'm actually excited, we actually were doing one in our village. You know, there aren't many times or opportunities where you fully drain a reservoir. That happens once every 20 years, 30 years. So I'm really excited to go down there and just walk around and look at everything. Yeah. So the big one is 2 million gallons, and the small one is a 500,000 gallon.
Remember what happened, like Mead, was down 35 feet, the stuff that they found.
Oh, well, we're not going to find that kind of stuff.
Across the street from there.
Yeah. that is all the updates I have for projects.
He was alive 25 to 30 years ago.
I have attended all of the open houses and provided feedback regarding anything related to stormwater and traffic, but I don't have any other things to provide. Oh, I'm at all the open houses, so I hear things. Well, so what I will say in terms of that, what I can say in terms of the traffic review, they are hiring a third party traffic consultant that has to review traffic based on parameters that we have given them. They're got to review that entire quadrant to make sure to see, okay, how is this impacting the neighborhood? How is it flowing in different places? So that is something that they are going to do. They have to do a whole traffic study for that entire area. They have to run a bunch of scenarios that came up during the open houses and even the village board meeting. And then on top of that, then not only am I and staff going to review that, you also were going to hire a third party consultant that's going to double check what they're doing to make sure that everything is what it needs to be. So that's the extent. And stormwater, honestly, it's actually pretty cool. The way that they do their stormwater is they pour all of the concrete, and then it, because MWRD requires a certain amount of detention. So then they pour their foundation, they as just a solid, you know, just a solid structure. And then they core their holes for where the water will then come out or whatever. But they do this all on their own rather than having, you know, oh, like typically you see like storm trap or these giant things that are dropped in. Well, they precast and pour it all in place. And then that accommodates their stormwater detention. So they've done it in a couple places. It's really good. It actually, the existing and previous property, because it was designed to old standards, had none of that. So this is actually an upgrade versus what is currently there and what was previously there in stormwater. That's all I got.
Thank you. Awesome. Right. How about a motion?
Don't move. Guys, I'm sitting here paying attention. You guys sound very good, by the way.
Thank you.
Good seeing you, Pat.
Right, we'll same here.
Okay.
Ben, you'll be back in a couple months when we meet.
I'll be back in mid-May. Yeah. If not sooner.
Thank you. Good. Good attendance.
Perfect.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.